Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Now is the time for all good men. I guess, I'm W.S. Thackeray. I'm interviewing Gordon C. Thomas, the secretary of the 67th Battalion Western Scots, and it's the 28th of August, 1980. Okay, we're on. If you would like to tell me your date of birth, Mr. Thomas.
14th of June, mm-hmm. 1898.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where were you when war broke out in...
14?
In 1914.
In Kamloops.
In Kamloops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I belonged to the BC, what they call the BC Horse. I was a bugler for them. I was too young. And they all got called up. And I was left to run a ranch for a fella named Powell.
How were you, eh?
And that's the only one there.
Huh.
So I stuck it for a while, and then I gave it up and came to Victoria.
And what did you do in Victoria?
Well, I lived with my brother. It was here. And, oh, I was working for different odd jobs all around. They wouldn't take me in the... I tried to enlist in Vancouver before I come to Victoria. They wouldn't take me. I was too young.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get in Victoria.
When you were 17?
Yeah.
Yeah.
1915.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And...
Got into the 50th Gordons first. That was the militia unit that was here.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there we got transferred to the 67th at the Willows. And of course with that, I was with the 67th right through the training year.
What was your training like here? You were stationed in the old Willows Fairgrounds.
Willows Fairgrounds in the old huts.
Yeah.
Oh, we had good accommodation. We thought it was pretty tough at the time, but we got over it. We route marched from Victoria to Sydney and up to Duncan's one route march, too. That was how they broke us in from walking.
My gosh, they sure did, yeah.
Yeah. And we had the training, good training there.
Well, it was mostly then on military drill and that sort of thing.
Military drill, infantry drill.
Did you have any weapons at this time?
Any what?
Weapons?
Oh, yeah, we had rifles.
You had rifles, and...
We used to go for the target shooting at Clover Point here.
Oh, yes, yeah.
In the range. Then we went from there, we went overseas to Bramshot.
Well, did you go directly after how long? A year, or how long were you in there?
Well, we left in March 1916
mm-hmm.
to go from Victoria to England.
I suppose there wasn't anything, any facilities for battle training or digging of trenches or any of that kind of work before you went.
Oh yes, we done that.
Where did you do that?
Well, out around Heald's Rifle Range in different spots.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We I got suppose all, that. They're all filled in now, aren't
oh,
they?
Oh yes, I guess we filled them in afterwards.
Oh.
But well, most of our training and the actual warfare was in Bramshot.
Yeah, when you got overseas, you did your sort of advanced training. If
yeah,
you
in Bramshot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when you left here, you presumably left on the old CPR boat and...
Yeah, we left on two boats.
Mm-hmm. What was the strength of the battalion at that point?
1,200.
Mm-hmm.
And we boarded train at Vancouver, stopped over at... Ottawa, I guess it was. We stopped to Ottawa for an inspection. Then from there we went right to St. John's and got on the, what they call the Olympic at that time, big boat.
Oh, the old Olympic, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a big ship, wasn't it? Yeah.
Was with other battalions and other corps. From there we got to Liverpool and put on trains and taken to Bramshot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bramshot.
Yeah.
What sort of accommodation did you have there?
Oh, just huts and camp, tents. Mostly hot, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a big place.
It was a proper sort of staging area.
Yeah,
a
proper
training area
for the Canadians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you really went into battle training.
Battle training there, everything. You got the works.
Hand grenades, machine guns.
Hand grenades and everything. Machine gun and everything else.
At what point did you become a pioneer battalion?
We were appointed pioneers in Bramshot.
Ah, you...
See, all the 4th Division was there.
Mm-hmm. So you thought you were going to be infantry, but we turned out
we had to be pioneers.
Yeah, so
yes. Most of them were loggers and miners and everything else in the battalion. And that's why they picked us, I guess.
I see, yeah. They were good handymen, knew how to use a...
Miners from the Caribou and loggers from up north and around the island. Everybody knew something that they wanted.
Yeah, right. What sort of organization was there in a pioneer battalion? I mean, besides you having all knowing how to use your weapons...
You had to know how to use a pick and shovel and cutter and wire and what have you. And different sections had the telephone system, wiring system.
Yeah. You had a telephone platoon or a section?
Yeah, the ones that knew how to put the connect up and all that. Communications.
Almost what an engineer.
Just practically, you might as well say they were engineers, all of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have any training in explosives, the use of explosives?
Oh, yes, you got all that.
Mm-hmm.
Blasting, well, most of them knew how to blast stumps.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah.
Then from there, we went to Southampton by train and landed.
How long were you at Bramshaw?
Oh, let's see, what do we get? Oh, I forget the month we got to Ypres. We'd be there about 4 months, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And the whole division went to France together.
The whole division went over to France together.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we landed at Le Havre. We landed at Le Havre. And taken by train so far, and then had to march the rest to Ypres.
How far would that have been?
Oh, God, no, I couldn't tell you.
You were taken in boxcars, I presume,
box
with everybody
cars,
else?
Yeah, anything at the old horses.
Yeah, yeah. Did you take much equipment with you, or did you take over equipment when you got there?
Oh, no, you took all your battle stuff with you. Rifles and bayonets and pack and rations and what have you.
But shovels and that sort of thing?
Shovels and that we had
with us. Well,
you
took everything
with you,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was all. We walked, and the ones that was lucky had the driving the teams.
I see, yeah. Yeah, carts.
Packing the stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
The Ypres, we got there, and first night in, we were taken in, and nobody knew where we was going, and that's where we lost a few men in the first night we was in.
Your guides weren't that good, eh?
Well, they didn't know any more than we knew of the country, and it's dark. And we got in, and we dug this trench as we was doing, and then the lieutenant in command of our platoon, okay, boys, have a rest. You can smoke. Well, hell, everybody lights a cigarette. And then we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lost quite a few on that night.
Huh.
But that wasn't his fault. He didn't know any more where he was than we knew. Turned out we were in front of the front line.
Oh, really? Yeah. My goodness. Well,
yeah.
How did you know to dig a trench there if you didn't know where you were?
Well, I don't know how the lieutenant knew, but that's where he said to dig, so that's where we dug.
Oh, dear. Well, that was a bit of a rude awakening.
Yeah, and then we marched from Ypres when they transferred, the French took over. We marched from there right to the Somme.
Well, what happened? What sort of living quarters did you have at
Ypres?
Oh,
you lived in anything you could get hold of.
Mm-hmm. But you were behind the front line, obviously.
Yeah, we were part of the time we were by the front line. Other times you were in the front line. You lived in a trench.
But when you were in the front line, were you still doing pioneer work, or were you taking over part of the line as infantry?
No, doing the pioneer work.
So you were...
sandbagging and all the rest of it.
You were really then billeted with an infantry battalion.
No, we were billeted in our own battalion, but we went in and out every night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever part they wanted something done. Different companies went in different places. Then it was the same when we got to the Somme.
Mm-hmm. Well, keeping back, how long were you in Ypres? And you mentioned earlier that you were subjected to a gas attack, were you?
Yeah.
Or what... How did this happen? We
didn't know nothing about it, but all of a sudden we got warned that there was gas coming, and it was gas coming.
Yeah.
A lot of the boys got gassed, but the only ones who could grab a handkerchief or something and urinate on it. And that saved them.
Yeah, right.
After that, of course, they issued us with gas masks.
Were they any good?
Oh, yeah.
They were all right.
Yeah, you had to have a training, you know, how to mm-hmm. use them and all mm-hmm. the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And we packed them all the time after that. Yeah.
Hmm. What, was there any heavy fighting where you were in
Oh, yes, sir. All the time.
All
Never
the time.
Quit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Somme was more
was
disastrous
a little
than
yeah.
that.
Yeah, right.
The Somme you got... Well, we were in the packing, digging trenches as fast as they could advance or anything else, or more support trenches.
You would follow along with the attacking troops, or just behind them, and dig trenches as they move forward? Is that how it worked?
Well, we'd be stationed a little outside, not exactly outside. We'd maybe about the fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, you went in and out every night to do certain districts. I think there's a picture there showing us marching in through Arras, past Arras, where I don't know whether you remember a fellow named Frank Slavin, used to be the heavyweight boxing champion.
No.
Well, he was in our battalion. He got in the battalion, but he was 68 or something then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good heavens.
And he's the one that got the job of dishing out the shovels to us. That was at the Somme. Then, of course, when the battle was on, why, we had to support them, too. And
as infantry?
As infantry,
yeah.
And also for digging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As soon as they got advanced, why, we had to get busy and dig them someplace where they could get under behind the sandbags or the trench.
Mm-hmm. What, anything specific you could tell us about digging these... trenches, anything that's, they weren't just holes in the ground, obviously, you dug them in a certain way.
You spread out so many feet apart, and then when you got where they wanted to dig, you dug, and if you didn't dig correct, why, you'd never get home.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was combined together. And what the infantry was...
How deep did you make these?
Oh, as deep as you get your head underneath, down below.
In other words, 5 or 6 feet
five
down.
5 or 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you throw the dirt up on the other front in front of you, too.
You must have been in damn good shape after a few
weeks
of this, by gosh.
You had to be good and know how to dig.
Yeah. Boy, that's...
Of course, most of the place on the Somme had been shelled so much that was all turmoiled over. Like if you're going into a plowed field or something, you'd have a different depth. But if this, you'd have shell holes and what have you. So you'd have to combine it the best way you could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What... Yeah, well, that's just what I was going to say. How hard was the ground? But you've answered my
Then
my
you had to, lots of times we had to work at the back of the line to make some billets or some place for the troops that were coming up to relieve the front line and let the others come out back for a while.
Did you do dugouts as well as
No, we didn't have dugouts. The only time the Canadians had any dugouts when if you was in a steady trench, a trench had been
mm-hmm.
there for a while, you dug a hole in the side and if you could pinch some corrugated iron or something, you put a roof over and covered it. That's where you slept.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you didn't have to worry about this because you were really the first fellows in there to do the work.
Yeah, all we had to do was get the trench.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then we had gum boots and it was all mud and slush.
Yeah, it must have been a bit tough digging in the mud, eh?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And then they issued us gum boots, these hip boots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, you get stuck in them, you couldn't get the gumboot out, you couldn't get yourself, so you went barefooted.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wasn't that pretty hard on your feet?
Well, yeah, until you got some more shoes.
Yeah, because there must have been an awful lot of metal and sharp objects
everything
around.
Everything there, and you walk over dead people and everything else.
Must have been a bit unpleasant digging through them.
Then at the Somme, after the advance there, we had the job of picking, as I said before, picking up all the wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And going through what they call Death Valley. Well, it was so damn hard. So many killed in there that you stand on and they grunt back at you.
Is that right?
But you couldn't take no notice of that. You just kept going. Was everybody different? Germans and British and Canadians all mixed in together.
Hmm.
Oh, it's good. You got tough, so you didn't think about it. You didn't know whether you was coming back or not that night.
No, I bet you didn't.
You just took a chance.
Yeah.
And then we got moved, after that we got moved, as I said, to Vimy Ridge, the chalk hills. Vimy Ridge was just a big chalk hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we had the job of building, the narrow gauge railway, and yet to disguise it so as observation balloons of the Germans couldn't see what you was taking out. And we were digging chalk tunnels, and we lived in caves in the tunnel, you know, caves in the side of the hill. And that was all transported back at night time under disguise and everything else way back so that they couldn't see any piles growing. Oh, you can talk to a dozen of them of any battalion, they'll know what the chalk pits were.
What about the sanitary conditions in the trenches and that sort of thing?
You done the best you could.
Mm-hmm.
We had latrines. We Pioneer Battalion built latrine places for them, but if you didn't get there, you didn't get there. That's all there was to it. And you were lousy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They used to supposed to go out and get a bath or something every 3 weeks or a month, whatever, you was in the front line, then you went out for a rest. The last time I can remember when we got out at Vimy, they took us out for a rest. We were supposed to get a bath, but there was German prisoners being taken in buses, you know, these omnibuses like you see here. And we were walking to go to this bath. By the time we got the bath, no clean underwear, nothing left.
Yeah.
The Germans had got it.
Ah.
So you've done the same old thing. You turn their shirt inside out and give them a chance to get back again.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, it's a lifetime experience, boy.
Yeah, sure it was. Yes, sir. Oh,
yeah, and the young folks today, if you try to tell them something like that, they don't believe you.
I don't think they can. They can't relate. They can't understand.
They've no idea what you went through.
No.
No,
quite right, too.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing. What about rations? How did you...
Well, you had iron. The rations came up, but there was mostly bully beef, hardtack.
The beef was cold and in cans, wasn't it?
In cans.
And,
if you had a good cook, you could maybe make a stew out of them. But you got along as good as you could.
Well, there were no things such as vegetables or anything like that, eh? Was there in a stew? Or?
Well, the vegetables we got, we helped ourselves out at the Frenchman's farm.
Mm-hmm. But that couldn't have lasted very long.
No, heck no, you robbed the poor old Frenchman and forced the battalion out to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you have anything hot to drink, and particularly in bad weather?
Oh, yes, you had the hot... The cooks would make hot tea.
And they'd get it up to you.
If we were out all night digging or whatever we were doing, when you come in, you had your mess can, and you get in what they call the cook parade, the cookhouse parade, the first thing you got was an issue of rum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you drunk that right down, it was generally a good strong issue, and I've never seen rum like it here.
No, it was
like
overproof rum, yeah.
Well, then you got your can of mulligan or stew, whatever the cook had made. By the time you got down to the little dugout where you were sleeping in your trench, why, you was ready to go to sleep.
Yeah, after that.
And you'd wake up and see your lunch there cold.
Yeah, I just need a slug of rum, eh?
Yeah, it's the rum that kept them going.
Yeah. And funny, and people think there's no, you know, it shouldn't be used and going out of style, but by gosh, in certain conditions.
The troops, when they were going to make an advance, they always passed the rum jug down.
Mm-hmm.
You could have all the rum you wanted. I guess if you got enough of it, you didn't give a damn whether you went or not, so that was it.
And I guess any effect that it had on you soon wore off.
Oh, yeah, you'd be all right, ready for work the next night.
Yeah. So you were worked as a pioneer then in preparing for the Vimy attack.
That's right.
I see. Who were you supporting at that point, or who were you with? What
Canadian.
Units? No, but what units, do you remember?
4th Division.
Oh, what battalions?
Oh, the 75th and the 48th and 72nd.
Oh, yeah.
All of the 4th Division,
yeah.
From one end to the other.
Mm-hmm. And I think you told me that just before the attack went in, the 67th Battalion was broken up.
Broken up. Two companies of the 54th and the other one.
Were you broken up as reinforcements, or were you broken up to be as...
Oh, yes, to reinforce the...
As pioneers.
No, to reinforce the battalions.
As infantry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you went into action on what, the first day of the...
First day.
Of the attack?
Yeah.
And you were wounded there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you...
St. Eloi, I was taken back to St. Eloi.
Did you, I mean, were you conscious when you were picked up and taken back?
Oh, yeah.
You were,
yeah.
Taken on a stretcher to...
Then when I got back to Mount St. Eloi, I rested there for a while, and they told me to report to what they call the headquarters camp. And from there, I had to...
Well, you were walking wounded, were you?
Yeah, I walked along the road and supposed to get to headquarters, but I never got there. What happened then, I don't know.
You passed out, probably, yeah? Perhaps shock or something.
And I woke up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, I don't know. I couldn't tell you where I went from there to there.
Hmm.
Till I got into Wally, Lancashire, then I knew where I was. Then that was the history of mine. Then from there we went to the, as I said, ship to Seaford Base. That's on the south coast of England, which was the base for being returned to Canada. From there we, our colonel, old Colonel Ross, was appointed to make a pioneer school there. And he picked up all members of the battalion to take over to the pioneer school. So that was kept us in England then again a little longer.
Mm-hmm. So you were teaching other people who...
Yeah, the pioneer school was to train the other troops that come in from Canada.
Were the other troops coming in as pioneer units, or were pioneers attached to each battalion?
They came in as battalions to England, wherever they were stationed. Then so many would be shipped out to the pioneer school.
Mm-hmm. To learn how to...
To learn what the pioneer work was.
Field fortifications, or whatever they called it.
That's right.
Days. Yeah, I see.
And that was still going when I was shipped back to Canada.
You were still of such a medical category that they wanted to ship you back.
Yeah, shipped you back.
Yeah.
You couldn't pass the test to go anywhere.
No. Well, you had lost the sight of one eye, had you, at the point?
Yeah. So that's the... End of my thing, as far as I'm concerned, until I got back to England, then I was in the Jubilee year, and from the Jubilee to Squamish Hospital, that was what is called Naden now, that was the Squamish Military Hospital. Then I was there till I got discharged in 1919. Discharged from the Army in 1919.
Yeah. What? When in 19? When in 19? You remember?
Oh gosh. I'd have to go on.
Well, don't worry. No.
I'd have to get my discharge. I got my discharge papers here.
I'm interested in that you were sent to the Jubilee Hospital, were you, for a while?
Oh yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they had wounded.
Then they used to keep coming in because at Squamish Military Hospital, which is at Naden. We had five wards there, and as the boys come back on the boats, they were met at the boat with a person who got the papers. From there, they were shipped to different hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Some would be shipped to Craig Derrick, which was a hospital at that time, and then up to Qualicum was another base, and Rest Haven, and different places all through. It all depends on what condition they were in.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, the others went to either Jubilee or St. Joseph's.
Mm-hmm. Well, after your discharge, what did you do then?
After I was discharged, I took a course of engineering at the BC University.
Did you?
As being underage, we were entitled to that course. I took a course there as engineer and got my certificate and never used it.
Didn't you?
No.
What sort of an engineer?
Stationary.
Stationary engineer, yeah.
I done one. I think I done a month at the Hastings Shingle Mill in Vancouver.
You didn't care for that, eh?
Oh, it was night shift, and I quit.
Yeah.
From there on, I went in on my own with building and contracting, plastering. Then I stayed with that till 1958 when I went into real estate.
Oh, were you in there?
I had a real estate license.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
1958, I gave it up in 73.
Oh, who did you work for?
My son-in-law.
Oh.
Yeah. Douglas Hawks Limited.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the Second War, I went as a Legion supervisor.
Ah, where would you go there? Where were you?
In the island, the lower end of the island. Then I took up the north end of the island, Comox and all through there, for the final training base. The YMCA had the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We was the Legion supervisor. You showed training pictures and looked after all their troubles. When the battalions finished the training up at Courtney, they were shipped overseas, and of course they left their wives and girlfriends in Courtney with no money or anything else, where you had to look after their wants, find them a place to stay or send them back to different parts of Canada where they come from.
And, I see. So I didn't realize the Canadian Legion actually did that. So
oh, yes. We had supervisors all over.
Yeah.
Some I couldn't get overseas because I wasn't
fit.
But I worked on with the other supervisors down here, the Rod Hill and Mary Hill, Jordan River, all through there. Then up island we had all around Courtney and Comox for the final training.
Yeah.
We had canteens. We all had wagons to take when the troops went out on a training troops.
Mm-hmm.
You followed them up and give them coffee and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
I've got pictures of them all.
Yeah. Ah, oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much.
And I went down. I got sick up at Courtney. I was the only one up there at the time, and running the canteens and what have you. It run me down. I got penetrating ulcers with it 24 hours a day.
Oh, boy.
I went down to 129 pounds. And I was... The reports I was supposed to send to Vancouver, I was sending to my wife, and the wife's letters I was sending to Vancouver. So she came up with my son, and came up and said, "To hell with this, she'd take you out."
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got out of that.
Hmm.
So I got a discharge paper framed from the Canadian Legion War Service. Of course, I lost money on that, too.
No, I'm sure, yeah.
I'd have made more money if I'd stayed in the building game.
Sure you would have, oh yeah.
But that didn't worry me.
Yeah, oh no.
I made it up afterwards.
Oh, that's very good.
So here I am, I'm still with the 67th now. Still helping the 67th along.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll keep that until I can't do it no more.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
That's all, yeah. Okay, well thanks very much, Mr. Thomas. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
As a point of interest, Mr. Thomas mentioned in an earlier conversation that the battalion colors of the 67th Canadian Scots are in the Jubilee Hospital Chapel. Now, that may be the chapel of the old DVA, which is now the DVA Hospital, which is now the, they call it the annex, I think, to the Jubilee.